Back on the Fast Lane across the Virginia Talk Radio Network, we'll get to Jerry Ratcliffe and his thoughts on what Trey Murphy brings to Virginia in just a moment. Before we do that, of course, we'll remind you, when you shop the exteriors of the grocery store and hopefully are practicing social distancing, cleaning your cart, trying to do all the responsible things, you also need to remember that the Country Boy on the label means quality on the table. Good news, country sausage makes a delicious meal, whether that's breakfast, sausage and cheese platters, jambalaya, anything else you're looking for, maybe even just firing up the grill because the weather is getting nicer and nicer these days as spring is here. Remember, Gano's Sausage, Country Boy on the label, does mean quality on the table. Now it's time for Covering the Commonwealth, presented by Realtor Carl Miller of Dalton & Company.
Yep, we're copying this idea. Covering the Commonwealth. A look at the locally interesting teams and stories from the experts who cover them. Let's start with UVA.
Virginia Cavaliers, Jerry Ratcliffe.com founder Jerry Hootie Ratcliffe is with us here on the Fast Lane. Hootie, big news for Virginia. They pick up a big transfer. Trey Murphy from Rice, Cary, North Carolina native, averaging just under 14 points a game, commits to Virginia, and he's okay with the idea of redshirting. First off, what are the Virginia Cavaliers getting in Trey Murphy?
Well, Ed, he's a solid player with 2 years experience, 2 years remaining of eligibility. 6'8" wing who can shoot the three. He was one of only two players in the country, I think, over 6'8" or 6'8" or above that hit 75 threes and had 5.5 rebounds a game this past season. Assuming that he does set out a year, which looks like he will, he'll come in and fill in right behind Sam Hauser, who should be probably the star of the team this coming season, so they don't skip a beat at that position.
Yeah, it's very positive for Virginia at a player like this. How surprised are you that somebody like Trey Murphy said that he's open to redshirting? And should that have been an omen that Virginia might have stood a good chance considering their track record with Mike Curtis and the program he has when guys do redshirt?
Well, yeah, Mike Curtis is excellent. He's one of the best in the business at making players, getting everything out of them that he possibly can in terms of strength and conditioning. It might take him a while to get acclimated to this program. It's a little different level of basketball. Not that the conference USA is not to put them down, but the ACC is a little higher. I guess the next step up. Plus, he's got to learn the pack line defense, which is something that he's eager to do. I know, just got through talking to him, he said he's very excited about coming to Charlottesville. I'm not sure that he would have any choice to redshirt. He might could get a waiver. Not sure how many hoops he has to jump through to do that. And of course, the NCAA is considering allowing guys to transfer once without having to set out a year. I don't know exactly where that stands at the moment, the fact that if he does set out this year, which I think he will, having him for the next 2 years at that spot really helps Virginia out into the future.
JerryRatcliffe.com founder Jerry Hootie Ratcliffe is joining us here on Covering the Commonwealth, presented by Realtor Carl Miller of Dalton & Company. Hootie, we've touched on Trey Murphy committing to Virginia quite a bit. Any expected moves now with Virginia on their roster, or are they now all set in your eyes and not expecting anything else?
For the next class, I think they may still be out there looking around a little bit. I think they'll have one or two openings after this season. So I wouldn't be surprised if they added to it. I know they're looking at a lot of guys, and Tony's always looking for good talent. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they added somebody for the next recruiting class.
JerryRatcliffe.com founder Jerry Hootie Ratcliffe is with us here on Covering the Commonwealth, presented by realtor Carl Miller of Dalton & Company. Hootie, appreciate your time. We'll encourage people to go and vote for the final four of to get to the final four of Wahoo Madness, the ball handlers, big men, forwards, and shooters region. Have a feeling that Olden Polonese might be the latest victim of Ralph Sampson, as many players were realistically back in the day.
Yeah, and you know, and Olden had maybe the longest NBA career of any former Virginia player. So, but when you're stacked up against the big guy, nobody's going to have a chance.
No, he's the very heavy favorite to come out and win this thing. JerryRatcliffe.com founder, Jerry Hootie Ratcliffe. Hootie, always enjoy catching up. Thank you much for your time, and we'll chat again next week.
All right, Ed. Great to be with you.
It's our pleasure. JerryRatcliffe.com founder, Jerry Hootie Ratcliffe, with us here on Covering the Commonwealth, presented by realtor Carl Miller of Dalton & Company. Looking to list your home? It might be the time to do that, and especially if you want to move within the Lynchburg area, because what's often a seller's market might quickly be, and very limited time be, a buyer's market. Is that the right option for you, though? The way to find out is calling Carl Miller, his office in Windhurst, and visiting CarlMillerTeam.com. We transition over to
the Virginia Tech Hokies. Hokie, hokie, hokie high.
Now joined by Evan Hughes of TechSideline.com with us here on Covering the Commonwealth. Evan, last week, one of these great video conferences that have now become so popular, Jeff, or Virginia Tech Athletic Director Whit Babcock and head coach Justin Fuente, almost blending the name for Justin Fuente there, but they both were on it. Biggest takeaway from you for both of those people appearing on that conference is blank.
You know, I think it was just more so reiterating the things that we had been talking about, right? The fact that, you know, not only Virginia Tech, but schools around the country really need to have college football for sources of revenue for the Olympic sports. And I think that's why the emphasis is put on the football. So hearing that from Whit Babcock, and then, of course, I loved his comment about we'll play on the moon in January, I believe it was, to some extent. And then, you know, football-wise, just hearing how, you know, Coach Fuente is being able to operate from his basement and what's being asked of his staff. You know, I think one thing that's tough for Virginia Tech specifically in this standpoint is with recruiting basically being suspended at this point. You've got a new defensive staff together. Recruiting could be a time for these coaches to get together, get to know each other a little bit better before they get onto the practice field. But again, I think the takeaway from it all was just hammering home the financial side of why college football is so important to all schools and Virginia Tech.
Yes, there's the financial element, and that's the major one. It was reiterated quite a bit, especially from Whit Babcock in this, of the solvency of football and basketball being able to hold its own, but that everybody needs football to come in at some point in time. What's the tenor in your eyes? And again, you're very well connected with a lot of the Olympic sports coaches and programs, but what's the tenor change likely going to be, or do they understand that while they may in some cases be jealous of the attention football gets, that there's a reason it gets that much attention and why it should, especially now more than ever?
You know, I think sometimes you hear from certain Olympic sports athletes and others, and you know, they always wonder, you know, why is it that football gets more attention and why is it gets so much network coverage? But I think now everyone's really starting to understand the favors that football does for sports like soccer, per se, or softball and baseball. And I think that Whit Babcock really laid it out well in his Zoom conference last week of just the revenue side and how basketball breaks even and then everything else. That's why football is really necessary. So I think that coaches and players, especially student athletes that are not football players, are really starting to realize, hey, we need football season. Now we understand why this is so vital to the success and the operations of our Olympic sports programs.
Meanwhile, for the success of Virginia Tech football, it's the recruiting trail. They've had quite a bit of commitments come in right now. Tyus Martin, Latrell Neville, among the two that have come in. They've also extended some other offers. Just give us some insight into how long this momentum will continue.
I think it'll continue for a little bit longer. I think that this momentum from the hashtag Texas2VT movement, and it started off as players getting offered and there being excitement, and then, of course, Wooten signing and Alec Bryant really got it going. But this is continuing now over the 2021 class. So this 2021 class we knew was going to be important for Virginia Tech and Justin Fuente, and it's really starting to pan out nicely. Again, you can look at 2020, right, and it's a down recruiting class, but we've talked about the reasons why. Bud Foster retiring, not knowing who's going to be there on the defensive side, surrounded by Demetrius Davis at quarterback. You're talking about big-time players now starting to commit to Tech, like a four-star in Latrell Neville. You mentioned it. He's from Missouri City, Texas, four-star receiver, has a relationship with Demetrius Davis, who's the talented four-star quarterback that'll come into that class for Virginia Tech. And then Tyus Martin, the defensive tackle from Arkansas. Some people have him as the top defensive tackle in the state of Arkansas. You're really starting to see, I think, in that recruitment, Ed, the TNT, as they call it, tier link in TAP, defensive line coach, is really starting to shine through in recruitment, showing their NFL experience, their history, what they can provide. And I think that you have to credit TNT to the commitment of Tyus Martin on the defensive line.
Evan Hughes of TechSideline.com, trying to keep it as positive as possible for us here on Covering the Commonwealth, courtesy of Realtor Carl Miller with Dalton and Company. Evan, thank you for your time. Continue to be safe and healthy, you and yours.
Absolutely. Same to you and Matthew. Take care.
Evan Hughes, TechSideline.com. We transition to LU, Liberty Flames, Damian Sortolette, newsadvance.com with us here on Covering the Commonwealth. Damian, appreciate your time. Last week, Ian McCall meeting with the media. One of the things he touched on was Liberty facilities updates, a lot of them involving football as well. Any concern that they might experience some hiccups in getting those completed, especially in time for the upcoming academic athletic calendar year?
I don't think so. With the lack of students on campus, I think they're operating at 1/8 of the capacity for students in the dorm room. So the lack of activity of hustle and bustle around campus should make for relatively easy for construction, since construction is still deemed as a necessary, an essential need under the stay-at-home order in the Commonwealth. So, I mean, they're still on path, still on track to complete Liberty Arena for basketball season, and even they might be able to finish up so volleyball could play the entire season there. As far as football, they still have a few items to finish up for the Liberty Football Center, but the coaching staff's moved in there, and they're getting to work on expanding the tower on the west side of the stadium, now known as Carter Tower, to add more luxury seating, have more amenities there. And I think, like I mentioned, with the lack of hustle and bustle on campus, that should allow the construction crews more time to get the work done and have it ready for the September 12th home opener against North Carolina A&T.
Obviously, presuming that home opener goes off on that particular date, did Ian McCall, in your eyes, give any insight other than maybe concern about it going off on time into contingency plans? We hear a lot of them being kicked around, but it seems to be still rather fluid and early in this process.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said, was it's still very fluid. He has spoken with all of the independent athletic directors. So that includes UMass, UConn, which are already on the schedule, Army, New Mexico State, which Liberty has played four times in the last 2 years, BYU, and then, of course, Notre Dame has been in discussion as well, because if the conferences choose to go to a conference-only schedule, that creates a big opening on the schedule for either an 8- or 9-game schedule, and then you're going to need the independents to play those. So we could see Liberty and Notre Dame play potentially this year if we end up in that boat. But McCall was very optimistic that the entire season is going to be able to be played as scheduled, and he's hoping that by the time we get to June, maybe July, and get kids back on campus and get them conditioned and ready for fall camp in August to lead up into the September season.
Damian Sortolette on Twitter, newsadvance.com, as Damian is with us here on Covering the Commonwealth, courtesy of Realtor Carl Miller with Dalton and Company. Damian, appreciate your time and insight. Last one for you as we wrap things up. Liberty will still be able to host ASUN championships that are rolled over from the spring of 2019-2020 into next year. All spring sports, so Liberty's going to get some of those as well. That seemed like a pretty logical and easy move, right?
Yeah, it did. I know we've seen a lot of conferences, particularly Conference USA, discussing possibly having all the upcoming tournaments at one site, just to make sure You know, things are taken care of and you kind of put everything in a bubble. But the ASUN logically decided to roll over the spring sports. Fall and winter will be on their traditional 2020-21 schedule. Liberty will host indoor track. And then, of course, for the spring, they'll have softball and men's and women's tennis. Baseball, I believe, was supposed to be on for 2021, but that's going to be moved back to 2022.
Damian Sorterlatt, newsadvance.com, with us here on Covering the Commonwealth, courtesy of realtor Carl Miller, Dalton & Company. Damian, thank you much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate you having me on.
Damian Sorterlatt, newsadvance.com, stopping by Covering the Commonwealth as we wrap things up.
And last but not least, or maybe least,
NASCAR, Dustin Albino, frontstretch.com. Dustin, Kyle Larson clearly in a lot of hot water. This makes Bubba Wallace's incident last week look rather tame, right?
Yeah, surprised we're talking about this, Ed.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, obviously a huge mistake by Kyle Larson, what he said. Yeah, he put out a what I thought was a heartfelt, sincere apology on Twitter today, but as he mentioned, the damage had already been done. You just look at the kind of the ripple effect of what's happened throughout the day. Today being Monday, and I mean, in the past hour alone, Credit One Bank, McDonald's, they've all pulled out from sponsoring him, you know, terminating their side with him, but not with Ganassi Racing. So I think that's a key element, that they'll still likely sponsor a CGR car. It just would not be with Larson driving.
It's amazing because he uses the N-word during this virtual race, and understandably the sponsors are not very pleased with that, and they make the swift action to terminate those relationships, and NASCAR has gone on and suspended Kyle Larson as well because of this activity. Did drivers not realize, and should they have known, that being on camera is just at any point part of their responsibility to act and behave a certain way? Because you'd think for a sport where the cameras follow them around a lot in the pits and at the track that you'd be almost accustomed to just being quote on, end quote.
Yeah, no, great point there. And, you know, they're looked at as public figures, the NASCAR rules, what kind of mandate, you know, for what reasons they suspended him for, definitely. And yeah, it's from cameras. I mean, you know, everyone slips here and there, but that word shouldn't really be in anyone's vocabulary in this, 2020. So it's unfortunate for Larson because he is one of the most talented drivers in the world. But, I mean, sponsors, what sponsor is going to take a chance on him? Maybe, maybe he goes and, kind of recovers from this a little bit, goes away. Can't come up with the right, verbiage right now in my head because I'm, this is still ongoing as we speak. So, but it's tough. It's going to be a tough sell to sponsors in the future,
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly long-term ramifications that come from this with Kyle Larson and the inevitability and the suspension that has not only come from NASCAR, but the just swift loss of sponsorship. Last one for you, and I saw this from Adam Stern of Sports Business Journal, and it caught my attention that Coke had dropped Kyle Larson for what's deemed, and I'm paraphrasing here, maybe these were the exact words from the Adam Stern tweet, motorsports writer, Sports Business Journal, similar incident that had occurred, prior to this. Should that not have been a red flag, or was there some element there of Coke in their own damage control not wanting to blow something further up than it needed to be, and that's why that's just now coming out?
Yeah, I saw that tweet from Adam as well. Not exactly sure what he's alluding to, but, I mean, let's face it. Larson, I mean, there's hashtag Blunt Larson for a reason. He's always kind of spoke his mind. And this particular instance has nothing to do with it, obviously. But it does seem to be kind of a I don't want to say disconnect, I don't think that's the right term, but, I mean, these drivers are trained, they're PR trained, they're very savvy with what they're supposed to say and what they're not supposed to say, and, it's kind of going back to your last question, you should know that the cameras are on, and, he might know a false story, or he might have thought he was in the private channel or whatever, with him and his father, but, I mean, you just, there's no excuses, really, So, as far as the Coke stuff, yeah, I mean, maybe it was a red flag. I don't know. I didn't really. I mean, I guess I knew it, but I didn't really take notice of it. I didn't think there was a prior incident. But yeah, I mean, this is a tough deal because you see in his sponsors, Plan B Sales and Finley Farms on the dirt side, they've announced that they are going to stick with him. So I was kind of saying the disconnect between dirt fans and NASCAR fans. So, because obviously, I don't know. I'm still the train of, you know, trying to get my mind around all this because it's still ongoing and so much has happened here in the past 6-7 hours.
Yeah, it's just constantly coming through more insight and info. You'll follow and get more from Dustin Albino at frontstretch.com. Dustin, thanks for your time as always. Enjoy catching up with you on Covering the Commonwealth, presented by Realtor Carl Miller of Dalton & Company.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Dustin Albino, frontstretch.com. We'll come back. Final couple thoughts on that, and we'll probably have to carry that discussion over to tomorrow. You're listening to The Fast Lane.